You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It was dangerous to go to Jerusalem that day, but he went anyway.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Gracious God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered for everything we have done wrong and raised from the dead to put everything right, send us forward with your Son Jesus to overcome by your grace and his atonement for the sins of the world. We gather in his procession to acclaim your glory and to receive your life for his sake, who for our sakes died and rose again. In his saving name we pray, even the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. At the end of the 6th century of our era, Venantius Honorius Fortunatus wrote one of the great hymns of Christendom. Vix illa regis prodeunt, he said. The royal banners forward go. It is a hymn for the first day of what Christian people have always called Holy Week. The scripture for this day is the story of how Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem on the first day of that memorable week that culminated in his crucifixion and was followed by his resurrection from the dead. This incident is recorded by all four evangelists, the writers of the four Gospels. All were impressed by what happened there that day, and all have told us the story. This is how St. Mark tells it. And when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.'" And they went away and found a colt tied at the door out in the open street. And they untied it. And those who stood there said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what Jesus had said. And they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it. And he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." As St. Paul tells the story later on, these things did not happen in a corner somewhere. The whole city was agog at the news of the coming of Jesus of Nazareth. People turned out in force. Some turned out in devotion and others in derision, but there they were, welcoming the conqueror. Some conqueror. He rode on a colt that had never been broken, wearing a garment that probably constituted the sum of his earthly possessions. The whole scene was to be followed less than a week later by a trial, a condemnation, a crucifixion, and a burial. Conqueror, indeed. There's no doubt, however, that the celebration on that first day of the week was a boisterous affair. Many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord!" As that parade formed on the Mount of Olives, which can be seen from the city of Jerusalem, not everyone was given to the carefree abandon of the moment. St. Mark reports that a short time before, when his disciples were on the road going up to Jerusalem, Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. St. Luke tells us that on this trip to Jerusalem, Jesus stormed ahead of them, for one thing because they were holding back, and for another because he had a great thing to do. It was as if he had formed a resolution that he had to carry out at all costs. There was good reason to be afraid. A confrontation was in the making. He and the religious authorities were on a collision course. He had challenged their authority, their teachings and their practices, in the light of the Word of God given by Moses and the prophets. He exposed their hardness of heart and uncovered their hypocrisy. He called them to account for their rejection of the messengers of God. He summoned them to repentance and faith in the one whom God had now sent. As it turned out, they were too wrapped up in their religion to listen to talk of repentance and faith in God. As for the religious leaders, they regarded as blasphemy his claim to sonship with his Father, the God of heaven and earth. He asserted that the Father had sent him to bring forgiveness, life, and salvation to the whole world. He asserted his oneness with the Father in the plan of the Father to redeem through him not only the people of God, but the people of the whole earth. Blasphemy, said the leaders. As it turned out, crucify him, said the people. It was dangerous to go to Jerusalem that day, but he went anyway. His followers were afraid. Even as happy crowds gathered to form a parade there on the Mount of Olives that would usher Jesus of Nazareth into the holy city with shouts of Hosanna on a carpet of garments and palm branches. Couldn't he guess, wondered his disciples, what awaited him in the city? Had he no inkling of what was going to happen to him there? Did he have no idea that the leaders meant business when they said, "You, being a man, make yourself God"? Didn't he know that there were people around who thought killing him would be rendering a service to God? The fact is that he did know. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Shortly before, St. Mark reports, taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was going to happen to him, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and spit upon him and scourge him and kill him." Of course, the disciples were amazed. They were so amazed that they hardly heard what he added. "And after 3 days, he will rise again." That was something that people did not understand then, and they do not understand today. Easter is just too much for most of the world to take. People don't die and rise again. They just die. The future of these people with Jesus was wrapped up with his. They could not believe that he would die after all the goodness and all the might that they had seen in him. They hoped for the best for him, as they probably hoped the best for themselves. Who knows where they might not wind up if he should overcome? Or if he should be overcome. Two of them had actually asked for places of honor, on his right hand and on his left, when he should come into his kingdom. Some of the others probably had secret hopes too, which could be gloriously messed up if this visit to Jerusalem went badly. Jesus told them that they did not know what they were asking. His throne would be a cross. He added, "Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Considering what he knew about the week to come, the amazing thing for many people today is that Jesus did not stop the parade. Why didn't he say, "That's it, that's far enough, here's where the procession ends"? I don't know why he didn't say that. I know what he did. He sent a delegation to a village nearby and ordered them to bring a colt tied there that had never been ridden. Somebody did ask, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as he told them to, "The Lord has need of it, and he will send it back here immediately." The whole thing is amazing. There isn't any part of it that is not amazing. The reaction of the crowds at the beginning of the week is amazing. And the reaction of those same crowds at the end of the week is just as amazing. The meekness of the king coming in is amazing. And the resolution of that king is just as amazing. As Fortunatus said, "The royal banners forward go. The cross shines forth in mystic glow, where he by whom our flesh was made, in that same flesh our ransom paid. The Lord Christ himself mounted the colt and gave the order, forward go. The royal banners, such as they were, forward went. As he himself said in the garden that week, 'Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?' Where deep for us the spear was dyed, life's torrent rushing from his side to wash us in that precious flood, where flowed the water and the blood. Fulfilled is all that David told in true prophetic song of old, that God the nation's king should be and reign in triumph from that tree. Forward go," ordered Jesus, "to that tree. It does not look very royal, that tree, but it is." Hardly knowing what they were saying, the crowds cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." "Forward go," said Jesus Christ, "for the whole world. Forward go for each and every one. Forward go to die for the sins of the world, and to die for the sins of each and every one. Forward go for you, whoever you are, and wherever you may be. It is the royal command of the Son of God. Become a man for the whole world and for each and every one. Forward go. Royal banners flying from suffering and death to light and life in the joy and peace of the kingdom of God. O tree of beauty," said Fortunatus, "tree most fair, ordained those holy limbs to bear. Gone is your shame. Each crimson bough proclaims the King of Glory now. Blessed tree, whose chosen branches bore the wealth that did the world restore, the price of humankind to pay, and spoil the spoiler of his prey. The royal banners are stained with blood, the blood of the Son of God. They are also stained with the blood of the martyrs who believed and overcame. Those royal banners are not furled today. They fly in the breeze of unbelief and in the torrent of violence that envelops the world. To the whole world, those banners speak today. Let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, on whom our faith depends from beginning to end. He did not give up because of the cross. On the contrary, because of the joy that was waiting for him, he thought nothing of the disgrace of dying on his cross, and he is now seated at the right hand of God's throne. Forward go," said the Father to his Son. "Forward go," said the Son to his followers.
Forward go, he says, to all who believe in him today. Forward go, he commands, to all who have sought the way of truth and have not yet found it. Forward go in the truth of Christ, royal and loyal son of his Father, Savior of the world, and now Lord of heaven and earth. Forward go, my friend, to worship him. Forward go with humility that he himself has given royal robes. Forward go with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Forward go to the altar of God where his Son gave his life that you might live. Forward go to forgiveness and life that he has to give. Forward go in the imitation of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for the many. Forward go in the words of Fortunatus. To you, eternal three in one, our song shall rise in unison. Those whom you ransom and restore, preserve and govern evermore. Amen.